around for the phone number. It's 1-800-39-ONLINE. 1-800-396-6546.
For starters, they've got eyewitness descriptions that pretty much match up. And it's not the first time he's done it.
Is he in trouble?
It's illegal to obstruct the workings of a civil agency. There are certainly fines involved, possibly prosecution.
Do they know his name?
The police are on it, and they'll eventually track him down.
And now, from the craziest city on the planet, this is Online Tonight, on the air, toll-free, at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. And now, the host of Online Tonight, Max.
It's Max. Welcome to Online Tonight. Greatly appreciate you including us in your day. Online Tonight is where we talk about tech, pop culture, and the latest geeky news that I think is fun and exciting. Everything from 3D printers to food, animals, Raspberry Pis, all those fun things. You can give us a call toll-free, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546 is our toll-free telephone number. You can also send us a text. Our text is 951-395-1017, 951-395-1017. You can also send an email, show@onlinetonight.com.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Mint Mobile. Hey, it's not Ryan Reynolds. Mint Mobile is cheaper than those big carriers. So you don't have to buy your socks from the thrift store. Ew. And it must be good, because Ryan's mom was in a commercial. Go get something good at OLTTV.com/mint. That's OLTTV.com/mint. I don't have to spell mint, right?
Phone lines are open. Victoria's taking your calls, your emails, and your texts. So we'll love to hear from you and see what's going on with that. Latest Google news. Google, of course, has been having a little bit of controversy lately with its Gemini. And they released an update this week. They did not release the image feature of Gemini. This is more... If you remember, we talked a little bit about how there is a concern about the bias that may or may not be coming through on Gemini, whether you're for the bias or not for the bias. I'm not going to worry about that. I'm just going to give you the information. But, you know, some people were concerned. Maybe this information that is coming out of Gemini doesn't fit my personal goals or values. And so Google has, I read a statement to you last week from a memo about how, you know, the image thing was definitely unacceptable. It showed the bias. And we had talked a little bit about, which in a way was their admitting that in the content layer, found the content mediation layer within the AI platform, they have put in certain rules about what is good or bad and what's acceptable and not acceptable in today's society. And if you just look at the mix of the country in general, 50% of the people agree with a certain ideology and 50% of the people are against it. So which side did Google take? I think everybody kind of knows. And they admitted in a way that that bias is there. So people have been questioning every single thing that the AI generates. So in an effort to kind of, let's say, appease 50% of the people, Google has said that they are going to allow you to kind of help the AI system a little bit. What you're going to be able to do is when the AI generates text for you, you're going to be able to select it. And you're going to say, this really doesn't share the concepts that I want to share. And you'll be given a chance to regenerate that particular highlighted selection of the text. And here's a quote from Google. We're launching a more precise way for you to tune Gemini's responses. Starting in English, this is English only, the update. in the Gemini web app. Just select the portion of the text you want to change, give Gemini some instruction, and get the output that's closer to what you're looking for. So there's two ways to look at it, and I'm going to let you decide which way is right. And that is, the bias may still be there, and you are going to be given the information that Google wants you to have. And then after you review it, if you don't like it, you can then give it some instructions and get a different output. Now, they're not being very specific on what the instructions are or how to, you know, say, I'm trying to be delicate about it. So if you let's say I would like a more conservative response. I would like a more, inclusive response. What kind of prompts can we give it to give these changes? And that's kind of the big question. And people are very curious to see where this is going to go and, you know, how deep some of their influences and ideas are coming through on their platform. Another company that's getting a little bit of pushback on their AI is Microsoft. An engineer a few years ago, Microsoft engineer, told the FTC, which is the Federal Trade Commission, about safety concerns in Copilot Designer AI, the imaging portion of the generator. And if you remember, Microsoft partnered with, I believe, a couple different people, OpenAI for ChatGPT, and also DALL-E, and that's what they're using, I believe, for their image generator. So this engineer said that the tool generates disturbing scenes, including demons, let's just say Roe versus Wade regarding items, assault weapons, images of young people underage drinking and other things, and they were concerned. They were sharing with the FTC that, hey, maybe these things shouldn't be allowed to be generated. So it's the engineering saying that the government in some cases should censor some of the information that is being generated by the Microsoft AI. The part of the press that came out of this was that, if you remember a few weeks back, there were some nudes of Taylor Swift, and apparently it had been generated on this system. And so the CEO of Microsoft, especially in regards to the Taylor Swift thing, said, wow, this is alarming and it's terrible. And he said that the company would be adding more safeguards to try to keep people safe. Okay, the short definition of that is they're going to go into the content mediation layer, and they're going to add rules that might be a little bit more heavy-handed than the rules that you want. So, you know, again, you have to decide, are these tools, do they benefit me? Do they not benefit me? Are they injecting some kind of feeling or theory that I may or may not agree with? So don't just take the information that it spits out. Always review it, check it out, see if it fits you before you publish anything. ChatGPT is in the news. They now allow, this was kind of neat because I use Siri a lot, especially in the car. I have never tried using ChatGPT in the car. But if you have an iPhone or an iPad now, you can ask the ChatGPT app to read out loud the responses that it generates, and you can even pick one of five different voices. So that's kind of fun, kind of neat. I always like to have things read back to me because sometimes when I read something back, I am reading what I'm expecting to be there and not what's actually there. There's been many times when I have sent a message and I'll get a response back and they'll say, what did you mean by this? And I go back and read it and it's completely different than what I thought I heard in my own head. So it's nice to have a voice that will read it to you, kind of like a third-party person or what entity or whatever that's reading it back to you so that you can actually hear what was written as opposed to this is what I meant, and so I assume it's going to be there. So that's kind of neat. And the read out loud will also be available in 37 different languages, and it will auto detect the language of the text that it's reading. So that's pretty neat. And it's also great for people who have trouble reading, like dyslexia, or they're visually impaired or something like that. They'll be able to just double check proof. It's like a proofreader, but you're really proofing your own because someone is reading it to you. So that might be pretty neat. Don't forget, give us a ring, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546, our toll-free telephone number. Stay tuned. All right, this hour's Geek Speak, where we take a tech term and convert it into plain English right before your very ears, is VOIP. More on that in just a minute. This Geek Speak is brought to you by Anchor. I've used other Anchor products, but I didn't realize that they are the number one mobile charging brand with over 200 million products sold worldwide. They've been a pioneer in the charging technology for over 10 years. I'm very interested in the Powerhouse 767. Think of it as a giant battery-operated generator. It has 13 charging ports and outlets on it. It's great for RVs, outdoor recreation, home backup. Find all of the amazing Anchor products at OLTTV.com/anchor. That's OLTTV.com/ANKER. Now, VOIP. Well, it stands for Voice Over Internet Protocol. It's a technology that allows you to use to make and receive phone calls over the broadband internet connection that you may have in your home. One of the first providers that was commercially available, at least in the U.S., was a company called Vonage. But believe it or not, most of your cable TV and Fios and people like that are now using voice over IP technology to provide you your landline phones at home. They digitize it. They put it over the internet. And it goes into a soft switch. So the days of copper in the ground and having real access to the switch and the copper lines, those days are gone because everything is going over VOIP. That's this hour's Geek Speak.
Online tonight.
If redness, swelling, or irritation occurs, increase your listening time by 1 hour per day. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
All right, a little bit more Google news. Google is rolling out some new changes to the way they rank searches. I believe, of course, you're still going to be getting those sponsored ads near the top. But to help people gaming the system and getting first page listings, they now have this ability to downrank content. Because especially with AI, more and more people are using generative AI tools to create posts on their website that look attractive to SEO. And what they're doing is they are trying to combat that by kind of looking deeper into the content and saying, you know, this is basically a rework of something that was published over at Home Magazine or at some medical site or something. You're just kind of changing it around slightly, that 25%, so you don't get under those copyright rules. And so now they're trying to recognize that, to test for that, to then make sure that you're not getting ranked higher than you should be if you're not creating original content and you're just summarizing using AI tools to help get your rankings higher. They feel that's kind of spammy, right? So some respectable websites rent out part of their website for, well, let's take CNN, Fox News, etc. If you scroll down, and you'll see these little boxes that'll say something like, doctor says that if you use this one household tool on your face every night, it'll stop wrinkles. And then you click on that, and it takes you to what looks like a medical ad, And while you're there, you get all this information except for what the actual household item is. You have to watch a video, then you have to sign up, you have to pay stuff. That's kind of spammy. And so they want to kind of make sure that those types of things, because the way search engines work is they go to the main site and then they go through each and every little link that's in there, and then they consider that to be your content. And even if it links outside of the page necessarily or outside of the site, you know, they call it crawling, right? The bots will go and crawl and they'll gather all these keywords and some other things. And so that will help people get higher up on the list. Like this is a site that has a lot of good information, but then who defines what the word good is, right? So Google is trying to make it a little bit trickier to beat the system, so to speak. I know that one of my people that I spend time with likes Wordle every single day. They play Wordle as well as one or two other games. I also play a game every single day so that I keep my rankings and my points and things like that. But one of the most popular games like that is Wordle. And the New York Times bought Wordle not too long ago. They bought the company, and they then made it exclusive. Not exclusive, I don't think, but they made, you know, it's for them. It's their thing. And they have been going after copycats. So the publication has filed several DMCA copyright requests against some of the knockoffs by saying, hey, this is too close to the way our game is. And in some cases, we'll have the word Wordle even in the name, which is definitely against at least the U.S. copyright law and things like that. You can't just turn around and make a Monopoly game, change like two or three little things, and still put the rich guy in the top hat on the cover of the box. You can't really do that. You gotta make something unique and something nicer, you would think, and not just flat out copy. So there's been hundreds of games inspired by Wordle, and they are now trying to make sure that those clones are not affecting people going to their site. In fact, I believe somebody even made an open source version of the software so that you could create your own kind of Wordle type game and put it up on your own website. And they are going after that developer as well. I'm sure they'll make a couple little tweaks, definitely take out the word Wordle. One of the ones that that the New York Times is looking at is a game that's coming out of Korea, I believe. And it's called, I don't even know how to pronounce it, W-I-R-D-L-E. Victoria, how would you pronounce that?
Wordle.
What?
It's pronounced exactly the same, like bird, word, Wordle.
Okay. Well, they're going after them too. So they want to make sure that, you know, people don't infringe on their territory, and that makes a lot of sense. Just real fast, if you had been using Wikipedia and really a fan of the roads section, for over 20 years, a group of people have been working to create 15,000 plus articles on roads and highways in the United States. And Wikipedia said, hey, you know, you can't just focus all of your efforts onto one topic. Okay, first of all, I completely disagree with that. If you're a specialist in 3D printing or computers, all your articles, all your stuff is going to be in that field, right? So why are they penalizing these people? Well, you don't have to worry about it anymore because they've created their very own website or partnered with another website. I'll put that link up in the show notes at onlinetonight.com. I'm Max. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We're on the air live tonight. 1-800-39-ONLINE. 1-800-396-6546 is the number.
Online tonight.
We have everything under control. We're on top of it.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Max. Name of the show is Online Tonight. Our toll-free telephone number, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546, toll-free telephone number. You can also send us a text, 951-395-1017, 951-395-1017. Also, our email address, show@onlinetonight.com. A little bit of Apple news. Apple has reinstated Epic's account in Europe, and it's big news because that way they can bring you a lot of things that you may have wanted or missed, such as Fortnite. So why is this happening? Well, if you recall, the European Union has a new law called the Digital Markets Act. And it basically says that Apple has to offer an alternative store. And it was supposed to go into effect either this month or April. And right before it was supposed to go into effect, Apple canceled the, I guess it was out of Sweden, I think. Epic had a developer account in Europe. And Apple canceled it and said, you have been shown to be untrustworthy and you are not following the terms of service, and therefore we are canceling your account. And apparently the Epic got really annoyed, and they went and they petitioned the EU and said, it can't do that. That's not allowed. Right? So after some time and some going back and forth, Apple has reinstated that account. And Epic has been very vocal. They said, we are going to be offering a secondary marketplace. And we are going to be offering, you know, most of our games, including Fortnite. So Fortnite might be coming back, at least in Europe, on your iOS devices, both iPhones and iPads. And I'm not sure if Epic was blocking the M1, M2, M3 desktop machines from running iOS apps. Developers have the choice to do that. You can, in a setting, you can say, I don't want to allow macOS. So I believe ever since, so we're on Sonoma now, then we had Ventura. Before that, we had, what did we have before that? Don't recall. But you can load an iOS app through the App Store and put it on your desktop. Unlike your Mac Mini, your MacBook Pro, your MacBook Air, your Mac Studio, your iMac, and you could run, if it was an M1-based machine, couldn't do it on an Intel-based machine, you could run an iOS app because it's the same architecture, right? So all of the iOS devices, the phone, the iPad, the Apple TV, those are all based on an ARM processor, and then Apple migrated away from Intel, and that's the M1 was their first desktop silicon that was ARM-based. And you could run the iOS apps on there unless the developer specifically said that you cannot. So I'm very curious to find out, like a couple of the apps that I've written, I've said, I don't care if you use it on the desktop, if you use it on an iPad, if you use it on a phone. Doesn't matter. I'm happy for you to use it wherever it's convenient for you. That's my feeling. But if you want to run it on a desktop, you might be allowed to do that. Now, the question I have, right, and this has been answered yet because the secondary marketplaces aren't open yet, is will there be a client of some kind for my desktop machine so that I can grab those iOS and iPad apps that allow me to run them on a desktop? Will I be able to use that secondary marketplace to grab those? So there's a few questions I still have that need to be answered in regards to that. But Epic's very excited. Apple has authorized them to be on the store, and there you go. We'll keep an eye on that for you. The new MacBook Air is launched when? I believe they came out yesterday, on Friday. Apple had updated the specs on the MacBook Air on Tuesday, I think it was, the 5th. And they are just with a press release. They didn't do an event or anything. They've got some new features and some changes. They updated both the 13-inch and 15-inch MacBook Air. And you could walk into a store, an Apple store, excuse me. You could walk into an Apple store on Friday the 8th and you could buy one. What makes them special? Well, the new 13-inch and 15-inch MacBook Air comes with the latest M3. Now, you might remember that last year, Apple announced the MacBook Pro that had an M3 in it. And now the MacBook Air gets that. And it is faster, and it has better power efficiency. Some of the early early benchmarks look like the M3 might be up to 20% faster than the M2. So that's exciting. If you have an M1 or even an Intel MacBook Air, now might be the time to look to upgrade that. So that could be pretty good. Some of the other features that it offers that the other MacBook Air did not have is you can now have two external displays. It comes with Wi-Fi 6E. It's got improved microphones. And the little fingerprint thing that you use for Touch ID, the seal now has a better cover. It's just a color cover, but it will look better on the space black one, so that you can, or whatever, you know, whatever color. It better matches, and so it doesn't seem to stick out. I don't know how. I mean, I don't stare at my keyboard that much, so the color buttons don't really seem to bother me. But maybe they bother you, and if it does, then that might be a worthwhile upgrade for you. Apple Vision Pro. There was this kind of meme and this video that went around all over the place. And apparently this woman and this male, Jacob, they got married. And it sounded like he went up there and was doing his vows with his Apple Vision Pro on his head. Apparently that is not the case. He didn't do his vows in front of all the people. But in the middle of them doing photos after the wedding. So when we got married, we had our wedding ceremony. Then we had a small break where we went around the yacht and the beach and everywhere like that, and we took pictures with the party and the bride and the groom and the, you know, all that stuff while people were having cocktails and cheese plates and all those fun things. And then we went to the reception. I don't know how they did it, but they had the ceremony. Then they went and took some photos. While they were doing that, Jacob went to his car and grabbed his Apple Vision Pro so that he could have some of the photos from his wedding with his headset on. You know, so the wife was maybe a little frustrated, but she has said publicly, "Hey, I wasn't mad." She used the P-I-S word. I wasn't mad. I was a little, you know, frustrated. I told him I didn't want him to wear it during the wedding. And technically, he did what she asked. He did not go up there and greet her at the altar with his Apple Vision Pros on. But, I mean, he spent $3,500. So he wanted to, you know, he was proud of it. He wanted to show it. And then they had the reception, apparently, and one of the funny quotes that came out of the group of people was he hit record while he was out on the dance floor dancing with the bride and, you know, hanging out with the groom's people and the bridesmaids. And apparently a Nicki Minaj song came on. And so the recording that the family is going to get to watch for the next 30, 40, 50 years is a POV of him on the dance floor during his wedding breaking down to a Nicki Minaj song. So there you go. I'm curious to know what you think. Give me a ring. 1-800-39-ONLINE. 1-800-396-6546. Let me know. What is the craziest thing you ever brought to your wedding? Was your spouse happy about it? Would you wear either a Meta Quest? You can't really see through the Meta Quest, though, right? I haven't really played with it. But you can see through the Apple ones. Well, you can't see through it, but you get a visual display of what's on the other side of the glass. Give me a ring. Let me know what you think. Are these things for you? Stay tuned. Bookmark this. This hour's Bookmark This is womenshistorymonth.org. Friday was International Women's Day. Don't know if you knew this or not, but it was. And it dates all the way back to a long time ago, 1909 in New York City. But the entire month of March is Women's History Month. And that actually started kind of as a week-long thing in Santa Rosa in 1978. But since 1995, you've been able to celebrate Women's History Month in the United States. And you can find out more information about that, the events, other resources to celebrate at womenshistorymonth.gov. That's www.womenshistorymonth.gov. I don't know if you need the W's. But you should put them in just to be safe. And now, of course, I will put the link on this hour's notes so that you can just click on it and it'll take you right there. And there you go. That's this hour's Bookmark This, brought to you by Southwest Airlines. With Southwest, you can book 2 free checked bags. And if you need to make a change, there's no change fees. So you can book your travel now to more than 100 destinations in 42 states, plus Puerto Rico, the Caribbean, Mexico, and Central America, right there on Southwest Airlines. Visit OLTTV.com/SWA. Make it easy for you. OLTTV.com/SWA. Come on.
Genetically modifying turkeys so they have 5 drumsticks. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
All right. Ghost of the Machine. Everybody has it. Sometimes we enjoy it. Sometimes we don't. Who knows? Something that I found interesting is tomorrow is March 10th. And if you spell it out, M-A-R-1-0, it looks like it spells Mario. And apparently, there are people who celebrate it. I don't personally celebrate it. I didn't even know about it until somebody talked to me about it. Apparently, the date was chosen to resemble the Nintendo video game name, Mario. And people do all kinds of things Mario-related. Some people dress up. Some people play the games. Apparently, this started in 1985. The Mario franchise has been a powerhouse in the gaming world. Nintendo, of course. Mario Kart series, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe for the Nintendo Switch, is having great success. They've already sold 45 million units of that since 2017, making it the top-selling Mario game ever. So what are your plans for Mario Day? Do you celebrate it? Give me a ring, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. Let me know. What do you play the games? Do you have special accessories or do you dress up? What's on your list? Let me know. Be very interested in hearing if you knew about Mario Day or I've just been living under a toadstool or a turtle. If you are big into gaming and emulation and the classics, then you might know what emulators are, like RetroPie or... There's several others. Well, Nintendo is suing the emulator who created the Nintendo Switch emulator. It was called Yuzu, spelled Y-U-Z-U, Yuzu. And they are they sued, and they apparently got an agreement from the company who was making the emulator. They have agreed to shut down, and they will be paying. They will be paying Nintendo $2.4 million. Apparently, the place that was either created the emulator or was making the emulator available was Tropic Haze. And they made a statement that said, "We've always been against piracy, and we have been deeply disappointed when users have used our software to leak game content prior to its release. It hopes that pulling the software will be a step forward in ending piracy for all creators." Okay, that's very corporate speak, and they probably had to do that as part of the agreement of their $2.4 million. So that's gone. Are you big into emulators? There's a lot of different emulators out there, and the legality of them are still in question. Most people say the emulator itself should not be against the law. But without the emulator, you can't play the ROMs of a game, and most of the ROMs for games are pirated. There are a couple public domain ones, so you should have every right to play those because they're free to use. But something that somebody spent a lot of money on to create, and they own the IP or the intellectual property rights to, and they own the copyright on, you know, they should still maybe get some of their money. So everybody has different ideas of what that entails, and you know, occasionally, intellectual property ends up in the public domain, just like Oswald, or I think Oswald entirely is in the public domain now. Steamboat Willie, right? That went into the public domain either at the end of last year or the beginning of this year. And so now you're free to make posters and parodies and cups and things like that. You can use that image now if you want to. True Disney fans may or may not buy it from you, but Disney's not really supposed to be going after you anymore if you choose to use that. Quick another side note that if you've been using the Down Pizza emulator, which is a Game Boy Advance and Game Boy Color emulator for Android, they have pulled the app from the Google Play Store. So maybe this is a proactive approach from them not to get sued by Nintendo, so they have decided to get rid of that. If you are a big fan of Steam games, then you're going to be very disappointed, depending on what games you have, you know, set up. 25 of Warner Brothers Adult Swim games are being pulled from the service, and some of the developers, you know, Adult Swim, they didn't make these games themselves. They hired other publishers and said, okay, we're gonna let you use the IP. We're going to let you use these characters, and you can create a game, and we'll have some kind of rev share or whatever. And those developers found out that Adult Swim wanted to cancel the games, and they said, why don't you just transfer it over to us? It's actually just a few clicks of a button on Steam. But Warner Brothers and Adult Swim said, nope, we're going to just go ahead and get rid of them. So there's 25 games, really, that I have seen so far. The only one I really cared about was Rick and Morty. If you're into Steam games, what are you playing? Are you going to miss the Warner Brothers titles? Give me a ring. 1-800-39-ONLINE. 1-800-396-6546. Stay tuned.
Online Tonight is produced and copyrighted by Smart Family Media. All rights reserved. Host Maxwell Smart, producer and other hats worn by Victoria Smart. Views and opinions expressed are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of the station, its management, affiliates, or other advertisers.
Online Tonight is live and on the air at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546.
Online Tonight.
And I'm here tonight to stand up for the rights of other nerds.
Now, from the craziest city on the planet, this is Online Tonight, on the air toll-free at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. And now, the host of Online Tonight, Max.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me. Greatly appreciate it. 1-800-39-ONLINE is our toll-free telephone number, 1-800-396-6546. Still got some ghosts in the machines, but that's okay. Here on Online Tonight, what do we talk about? We talk about things that are cool. Tech, pop culture, geeky news. And we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-39-ONLINE is our toll-free telephone number. 1-800-396-6546. Give us a jingle. You can also send us a text and an email. 951-395-1017 is the text. Again, 951-395-1017. And you can send us an email, show@onlinetonight.com. Now, the text and the email is really one way. You want to have a conversation or a dialogue. In fact, most of the time we don't answer your text or your emails, and you have to listen to the entire show, all the hours, to see if we get to your email question. But if you call us on the phone, we can have a conversation, and I'll answer it right then and there. So always better to give us a call. All right. Well, let's, again, ghosts in the machines today. Let's see what we can do. Give me 2 seconds, and I will fix this for you so that I can push the right button.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Mint Mobile. Hey, it's not Ryan Reynolds. Mint Mobile is cheaper than those big carriers. So you don't have to buy your socks from the thrift store. Ew. And it must be good. Because Ryan's mom was in a commercial. Go get something good at OLTTV.com/mint. That's OLTTV.com/mint. I don't have to spell mint, right?
Nope, don't have to spell anything you don't want to spell. 1-800-39-ONLINE is our toll-free telephone number. Let's jump into a little bit of news. I'm curious if you were one of the people that kind of panicked and had a personal feeling about this. The Facebook network kind of went down this week, and a lot of people were not happy. It really just shows you how addicted some people are to some of the technologies. There was a widespread outage that affected Facebook and Instagram, and it lasted several hours on Tuesday. But you could see it just within those few hours, people were like in a panic, having withdrawals, and they didn't know what to do with themselves. It was very, very interesting to see and watch all of that. And so Meta said that they have figured out kind of what the problem was, and they are looking into not having that happen again. And they weren't very specific. They weren't very specific about if it was a software update or, they didn't really get into the details, the nitty-gritty. But if you go over to, there's a couple websites that you can go to where you can say, this is down and there's a problem and things like that. So 70% of the problems reported by Facebook users were saying they were having trouble logging in. You just couldn't log in at all. Instagram users were saying that their feeds were not refreshing and they were unable to post anything. Oh, gosh, I wasn't able to put my bikini picture up there. I wasn't able to put that wonderful photo of that new salad that I had. What are we going to do with ourselves now? I know that the influencers struggle when they can't get their posting every hour or 2 hours. Miss Victoria, are you a Instagram or a Facebook user?
No.
Did you find any, you definitely checked the Twitter/X, but you didn't have any trouble with your feeds or anything like that?
No.
No. If you feel that things aren't reloading, do you kind of get wound up? Like, do you feel like something in your life is missing?
No, I just go do something else.
Because we always have so many other things that we have to do and get done?
Yes.
Exactly. All right. But they said by about noon or so, a Meta spokesperson, Andy Stone, said, we resolved the issue as quickly as possible, and after technical issues caused people to have difficulty accessing some of our services, we have tried to mitigate the problem in the future, and we have we're going to be checking our settings and all that stuff to make sure that it doesn't happen again. The other thing that I wanted to point out was, and I don't like to talk about the politics of it, but apparently 19 lawmakers in America have introduced a bill that would punish app stores that offer TikTok and several other foreign apps. So TikTok, you may or may not know, is owned by a company in China, DanceByte, and they promised that the ads and all those things, the data that they collect, is all stored on U.S. servers, that they're not sharing it with Japan. ByteDance is the name of the company. They say that all of the information that they collect on U.S. users is here, stored on servers in the U.S. Doesn't mean that the Chinese government, who basically owns them, doesn't have access to those servers. I mean, they might. I get some of my content from iTunes and Apple, and those servers are in Ireland. So, I mean, just because something is stored in one country doesn't mean another country doesn't have access to it. So some of the argument is silly, but I don't want to get into the politics of it. I did want to share with you, though, that if you are a app store and you violate the law, if it goes into law and it becomes a law, you will be charged $5,000 for every U.S. user that has either accessed it, maintained it, or updated it. So if those are things that you have done, your users have done, you're going to be on the hook for a lot of money. And this bill also incorporates other countries like China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, etc. So watch out for that. If you're a big user of any of those foreign apps, you may or may not be very happy when that time comes. All right. In more news, SpaceX said that their satellite service has passed some tests. So the SpaceX people, I don't know if you know, but they offer internet service through SpaceX. And they sent a letter to the FCC in regards to a direct-to-cell satellite phone service they want to test. So they're trying to find out what they can do in that area. So that's exciting for those of you who want to make phone calls over their internet service. Apparently, a lot of people love their internet service. They think it's pretty fancy. The service has been tested on unmodified Samsung, Apple, and Google handsets, so cell phones, that have a satellite chip in it. The company says that it works great in all the different areas. So if you're out in the country, which is where it absolutely makes sense, like you fall down a cliff or you get stuck in the snow or you've got some kind of problem or your neighbor gets run over by a snowplow and there's no cell service, you can use the satellite service to call for help. So it works both in urban environments, rural environments, indoor, outdoor. Now, you still have to have a clear view to the sky because that's how satellites work. And if it's a heavy rain, you may or may not get service. But it's better than having nothing. And the tests that they have done so far have been in Redmond, Washington, Mountain View, of course, Kansas City, Kansas. And they are trying to get their service approved by the FCC. And I believe they're first going to partner with T-Mobile. So they're going to make the service available to their T-Mobile customers, and then that'll be a lot of fun. X is launching a YouTube clone for smart TVs. As you know, YouTube is definitely the biggest player out there, And some people have been a little bit unhappy about the revenue share and some of the rules that YouTube has done lately. And so Elon Musk's X is launching a new television app for Amazon and Samsung smart TVs, a source has told Fortune. It's not been announced yet, but it looks like the some of the videos, and maybe they're going to pay content creators a little differently. Are you a content creator, or are you big on the YouTube or the Rumble or whatever the latest service is? Let me know. 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. It's online tonight. Stay tuned. All right, Geek Speak. This hour's Geek Speak, which is a tech term where we turn your technical words into plain English right before your very ears, is TLDR. It's not really a word. It's an acronym. This Geek Speak is brought to you by Paramount Plus, your favorite shows including Star Trek series, Transformer movies, NCAA men's basketball are now streaming on Paramount Plus. Find out all the ways that you can check it out on all the different devices that you own. You can get more information at olttv.com/stream. That's olttv.com/stream. Now on to TLDR, and there's a semicolon in the middle of that, what does it stand for? It stands for Too Long Didn't Read. And really, it's just internet slang for not reading an article or a post all the way through. It's used to relate to a block of text that has been ignored due to the length. And so the that is this hour's Geek Speak, TLDR, and we've lost our buttons again. Give me 1 second. We'll get this all worked out for you.
This show looks just as good with or without your 3D glasses. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
All right. Some more Apple news that I thought I'd share with you. Apple recently announced the expansion of their self-service repair service. Now, you may or may not know that you're able to get kits and things like that so you can fix your iPhones, your iPads, but now you're going to be able to repair your MacBook Pro and your iMac models that are powered by the M3. So those offerings are available now, right away. They started in April of 2022. They started the self-service repair where you could access manuals and genuine Apple parts, and they'd even send you a toolkit. You could also always go to an Apple authorized service provider, so you didn't, have to do this yourself. But if you wanted to, you could. There's Apple Diagnosis type of software and manuals and tips, so that any MacBook Pro or iMac model that's powered by the M3 is now available to get this kit, and you can check it out. Because some people don't live near an Apple store. Some people have, a distance they have to go. Sorry about that. Frog in my throat. For the last 5 years, Apple has nearly doubled the number of service locations that have access to the Apple Genuine Repair Service. That includes parts, training, things like that. 5,000 independent repair providers are available, so that if you don't live near an Apple store, you can still have the confidence that you're going to be getting genuine Apple parts and that you're going to maintain your warranty and things like that. Apple is kind of has a mixed message when it comes to repair and repair services. They definitely don't make their machines or the devices easy to repair. They want you to, you know, maybe have a problem and then consider get a newer model. Or they want you to go into an Apple store where they charge you, in a lot of cases, quite a bit more than, say, your average neighborhood repair store would be if you're comparing it against a computer, a PC, let's say, and you have a local PC place and they can just swap out a graphics card or maybe even change the processor for you or upgrade the RAM. Apple doesn't do that anymore. Most of these things are soldered on there and they're difficult for you to repair. But there is a group of service technicians and other people who feel that if I buy something, if I bought an old 1975 Mustang, I should have the right to get my own tires. I should be able to get my own brake pads. I should be able to, right? I should have the right to repair the stuff that I bought, that I paid for. I own it now. I use my hard-earned money to purchase this. And so Apple has in the past said yes to some of these repair laws in certain states, like in California. They definitely fought against the one in New York. And now it looks like Apple might be fighting the one in Oregon. Oregon is about to sign its the strongest right of repair law yet. It would ban parts pairing, which allows companies to control when and how you replace components. So what happens is sometimes Apple monitors or screens will have a little chip in it that has a serial number. And when the operating system starts up, it says, do I have a number for the microphone? Do I have a number for the screen? Do I have a number for the RAM? Do I have a number for, you know, these things? And it kind of does like a check. And in some cases, it will refuse to start up, or it'll pop up this really annoying thing that says, you might not be using genuine Apple parts. Well, Oregon is making it so they aren't allowed to do that. They're not allowed to stop you from using third-party screens, third-party microphone replacements, third-party port. If you, you know, if you snapped off a port and you just wanted to replace that, you should be able to. And it doesn't have to be signed. And so the governor there in Oregon is trying to pass SB 1596, and we'll have to see. It's kind of similar to California's right to repair law, but Oregon is requiring companies to make small parts, tools, and repair documents available to anyone, regardless if they use their repair kit service or not. You know, I should be able to buy the tools. I should be able to buy that adapter. I should be able to buy that screen, and you have to sell it to any consumer who wants to buy it, just like you sold your phone to any consumer that wants to buy it. And so it's going to be interesting to see if Oregon's right to repair bill is going to make it and then get signed by the governor. And if so, Apple may not be very happy because they're going to have to maintain 7 years worth of inventory and some other things. So it'll be interesting to watch if you care about that. Hey, don't forget that if you have any extra, it's almost tax time. So if you're looking for a tax donation or you want to make a tax deductible contribution, you can do what I did, which is I went to cryptoforcharity.io and you just click on there. You click on the donate button and then you it says, what charity do you want to support? I personally support the Jennifer Smart Foundation. So you just type that in there. Then you say what kind of crypto you want to donate. I did ETH. You might want to do Bitcoin or, you know, the US dollar coin or whatever it is that you're into. And then you put in the coin amount, not a dollar amount, but the coin amount. And of course, it takes fractions of a coin. So I did not give a complete ETH coin. I did a partial. And then that money goes to the charity of your choice and you get a receipt. And then you can check with your tax provider to see how that might benefit you on your taxes. So check that out, cryptoforcharity.io. I'm Max. This is Online Tonight. Stay tuned.
Hey,
We're taking your calls right now at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546.
Online tonight.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you guys could find a way to shut the hell up!
All right, 24 minutes before the hour. My name is Max. The name of the show is Online Tonight. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. Don't forget, if you missed any portion of the show, you can head over to the website, onlinetonight.com. Check out the show notes, grab the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, and more. Would love to hear from you. 1-800-39-ONLINE.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Mint Mobile. Hey, it's not Ryan Reynolds. Mint Mobile is cheaper than those big carriers, so you don't have to buy your socks from the thrift store. Ew. And it must be good, because Ryan's mom was in a commercial. Go get something good at OLTTV.com/mint. That's OLTTV.com/mint. I don't have to spell mint, right?
The phone lines are open, 1-800-39-ONLINE. You can also reach us by text and email. Our text is 951-395-1017, 951-395-1017. You can also send an email, show@onlinetonight.com. That's show@onlinetonight.com.
I'm Jennifer. We got a chance to see an early screening of Kung Fu Panda 4, rated PG, which debuts in theaters today. Master Shifu tells Po that he needs to find a successor and move on from being the dragon warrior, as it's time to fulfill his destiny as the high spiritual advisor of the Valley of Peace. But Po is enjoying his job and wants everything to stay the same. Change is scary. But then he meets a thief with incredible fighting skills, and he sees potential in her and enlists her help in finding the Chameleon, a powerful shapeshifter who is planning to take over the world.
I'm Victoria. Jack Black is, of course, back as the voice of Poe. Other returning characters are Dustin Hoffman as Shifu, James Hong as Ping, and Bryan Cranston as Lee, the latter two being Poe's two dads. If you've seen the previous movies, you'll understand. New characters include Awkwafina as the thief and Viola Davis as the chameleon. And the voice cast also includes Ian McShane, Ronnie Cheng, and Harry Shum Jr. And we have early tapes videos of Jen's interviews with Jack Black, James Hong, and Harry Shum Jr. on the Fun Stuff page.
I was very excited that Ian was in this movie because I like John Wick, and he is the master of the hotel.
The concierge.
So that was fun to hear, and he played a nemesis or a bad guy previously. And if you, it's I just find the franchise to be fun. It's fluffy, it doesn't take itself overly seriously. There is a little bit of violence, though. I sometimes wonder, how I should feel about that. I mean, no, there is dead people. I mean, they bring spirits from the other side in this movie,
but they never look dead.
They never look dead. We never see any blood. We don't see, but. You know, it's fun, and there's nice little messages, and it was interesting to see the fox and all the people that you know before, the goose and the daddy panda and all the – and I really liked the pub with the happy rabbits who were not happy at all.
Yeah, it's interesting that they would build the pub that way, but you have to see it to get the – That makes sense to me. I like the fact that we have been able to see Poe's character growth throughout the sequels. In this one, he is very confident in his abilities, and that's why he feels so comfortable in the role of the dragon warrior, because he's finally got the hang of it. And he says it's the one thing that he's good at.
Eating dim sum.
Right. So we see that his fighting skills have really come into their own, and he just does a great job. He's got the instincts and everything. And so it's nice to see, because you see his journey over the four films. And in the very beginning, of course, he didn't know what he was going to do with his life, and, you know, before he became the Dragon Warrior. And then he compared himself to other warriors. And this one, he really is his own person, because the Furious Five are off doing other adventures, so they don't feature in this film. Jen?
I don't like Awkwafina.
Can you tell us why? Can you tell us why you don't like Awkwafina?
I just don't. Okay. I don't know. I can't. I don't know. She's overused. She's overcast. Give jobs to other people. Like, she's fine. She doesn't need to work anymore. And so whenever I hear her voice, I am frustrated that they've cast her. And that's how I felt with this movie, because I didn't know that it was Awkwafina before I watched it. Probably because people intentionally kept that information from me, knowing my bias. But I liked the character, and I liked the dynamic, and I liked the plot, and the chameleon was interesting character, and shapeshifters are always fun because I feel like as the audience, we usually have an idea of when the shapeshifter is the person, but then the people in the movie never realize that it's the shapeshifter, not the person they think that they're talking to. So that part is fun, and it added an interesting dynamic. And a new villain, of course, is always fun. So I liked this, that Poe still had a buddy to go along with him since he was not with the Furious Five. And I was going to say Fantastic Five, but there's only four of them. And then we also get I liked the buddy adventure of Ping and Lee, the dads, as they're going off on their own adventure as well.
I'm with you. We know several Asian actors and actresses that could have done that. Lily could have done it. Lynn could have done it. Somebody, give somebody else a chance. I mean, Jack Black's the name. Ian's the name. I mean, is Awkwafina going to bring you that many more guests into the theater, really? Especially when it's animated. You could have given someone else a chance. I'm just defending Jennifer's action there. However, I think that Awkwafina in certain parts is exactly what you want, because you know the kind of the weird edge that she brings to it, and we did not know ahead of time, or we probably would have warned you, and then it would have just been us two enjoying the movie. But in general, I think Miss Victoria enjoyed the movie. I have a question about Poe. Did we see in Kung Fu Panda 1, Kung Fu Panda 2, Kung Fu Panda 3, did we see any inner voice talking previously?
I don't know offhand.
Okay, that was an interesting new kind of element. And then, you know, how he has a lot of different inner voices. And then, of course, he's got his master and his mentor that pops in every once in a while, kind of like a Yoda, right? Mm-hmm. Where they come in, you know, you should consider this. Or Obi-Wan Kenobi did it when Luke was shooting the thing to blow up the Death Star. So I find those things to be kind of interesting. And so that made it a little extra fun for me.
I like the comedy relief. So I like the fact that Poe actually seemed a little more serious in this movie because he's got that inner turmoil about, you know, whether to give up being the Dragon Warrior. So we got the comedic relief from other characters like Ping and Lee. And so that was interesting. But Awkwafina does have a very distinct voice, so you know it's her right away. And they've talked about possibly bringing her in to replace Poe. So I don't know how that's going to go.
Nope.
But I really enjoyed it. I'd give it a 4 out of 5.
Jen?
A 4.5 out of 5.
All right.
I'll give it a 4 out of 5.
Well, because Awkwafina's in it?
Yeah.
Okay. Despite Awkwafina, and I didn't mind her in this role. I actually thought she was a little more subtle and not as scraping. You know, it wasn't like the chalkboard type of thing, which she's done for me in other movies. But I'm not anti her anyway. I give it a 4.5 as well. I mentioned Star Wars, like Obi-Wan Kenobi and Yoda in that review of Kung Fu Panda 4. And I wanted to share with you what we did last week. Last week, we went to Disneyland in Anaheim, California to ride Star Tours one more time before the next time we go to Disneyland, because the next time, Star Tours is going to have some changes. So if you're a fan of the current group of Star Wars characters, such as The Mandalorian, Ahsoka, Andor, starting April 5th, some adventures with them in it will be included in Star Tours. I personally like C-3PO. I like when we get kind of stopped by Darth Vader, and you know, I find all of that fun, and then sometimes somebody will come on the screen and tell you you did a good job, whether it's Lando or Yoda or somebody like that. Those are always fun for me. But I think that people who are happy with Mandalorian, Ahsoka, etc., will be very excited to see some of these characters included in the new Star Tours that will be coming both to Disneyland and to MGR, Walt Disney Studios in Florida. It's online tonight. Stay tuned. This hour's bookmark this is Barbie.com, B-A-R-B-I-E.com. On this day in 1959, the first Barbie doll became available. And if you want to find out the history of the doll and some of the role models that they used as the inspiration to make some of the more recent dolls, you can check out the website. And that website is Barbie.com, Barbie.com. That's this hour's bookmark this, brought to you by Anchor. You probably know Anchor for their dongles, as I call them, but they call them hubs. The Anchor 655 USB hub is an 8-in-1. It includes an SD card slot, micro SD card slot, two USB ports. Those are 10 gig ports, audio, Ethernet, and HDMI in one sleek little device. It comes in two different colors. You can check out all that Anchor has to offer at OLTTV.com/Anchor. That's OLTTV. .com/ANKER.
Online tonight.
357 Magnum. The original point and click interface. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
All right, so we've got some EV news. There's a company based out of Irvine, California, which is just east, just south of Disneyland in Southern California. It's called Rivian. They announced some layoffs in February. They currently have 16,700 total employees, and they're laying off about 10% of the salaried staff. They recently announced that they wanted you to know that the manufacturing workers are not going to be part of this layoff. Part of the reason why the luxury car company is letting people go is they brought in $4.4 billion in total revenue last year, but they lost $2 billion. And I have questions. I don't understand how you have a business and you can lose that much money and still have a business. And on top of that, in 2022, they lost $3.1 billion. So that means they've lost over $5 billion, and yet they're still around. They're headquartered in Irvine, as I mentioned. They have research and development offices in Carson, California, which is near LAX by the airport. Palo Alto, Stanford Research Park, that's up in the Bay Area. They also have some offices in the UK and in Canada. But all of their trucks, their SUVs and their trucks, they're made in Illinois. And even with that gigantic loss of money, they're building a brand new facility about 50 miles east of Atlanta in Georgia. So far, they've sold about 70,000 vehicles. That is, I mean, not even close to Tesla or anybody else. And so that is, that's unfortunate for them. And yet, they're moving on. In additional news, they are releasing the R2, the R3, and the R3X. They had a launch event here a week or so ago. For years, they have been promising to make smaller, more affordable electric SUVs to go along with their pricey. Their R1T and their R1S are fairly expensive, but they have now announced a smaller, affordable version of the SUV. It's supposed to come out in this first or before the second half of next year, so that means the first half. It's not next year. It's going to come out in 2026, so you got to wait 18-plus months But they estimate that they're going to start the pricing for those models at $45,000, and it'll have a range of $330. Just a quick aside, back in the 1980s, you know I'm a big fan of Back to the Future, right? And they made a time machine out of a DeLorean. Well, that model of the DeLorean was called the DMC, or DeLorean Motor Company, -12. Thank you. And they will... The reason for the 12 was it was supposed to be a luxury sports car for $12,000. Well, it never made it to $12,000. But the number 12 there was supposed to represent the number. And you know I have range anxiety when it comes to these cars. That $45,000 R2, I believe, is supposed to have 330 miles of range on a single charge. And it'll go 0 to 60 in under 3 seconds. But if we're waiting almost 2 years to get a new car, I would really hope that somebody's putting money into battery technology and that we can get more than 300 miles out of a charge. I still think that that is trouble and problematic. I mentioned Tesla there briefly. I wanted to say that Tesla's new Cybertruck, I've seen a couple of them around in the Southern California area. I find them very interesting to look at. I'm curious about the headlights. I don't even know how those are legal because they're just this little tiny strip of white lights. But apparently it provides the appropriate number of distance and feet for you to see around you. I just find it hard to see them because they don't have these big headlights. But aside from that, the Cybertruck was in California's Marina State Beach, which is about 10 miles north of Monterey. And a video came out, and it was shared by the news and, of course, on socials, unless you were trying to get to Facebook on Tuesday when there was the big outage. But apparently got stuck in the sand. The new Cybertruck, being that it's got a lot of body weight and it has an extreme amount of weight from the batteries, it got stuck on the beach, and apparently a bunch of local firefighters had to help them get out. And the person was from Nevada. I'm not even sure why they were driving on the beach to begin with, because I believe that beach, you're not allowed to drive anything. No dune buggies, no bikes, no cyber trucks. So I'm sure he got a ticket, and then he probably had to pay some money for the tow out. So there you go. If you're a fan of the Warriors, that's a basketball team based out of Northern California. They are very excited to tell you that one of the players there is going to be buying something really fun. I'm not a big basketball fan, so I really don't I don't really even know who it is, and I really don't care what the person's buying. If that's something that you're interested in, just drop me a note. I'll let you know next show. But I wanted to remind you that we have our shirts on sale and our mugs and our clocks. You can head over to olttv.com/store, and you can check that out. Again, our shirts, our mugs, and I also have a custom design of a parody shirt. So if you're a fan of dinosaurs and how they went extinct, then you might like this shirt. Also, don't forget, you can head over to onlinetonight.com where you can check out the show notes. You can grab the podcast, and you can also drop us a note there if you'd like to. You can listen to the podcast right there on the webpage. You don't have to download it or anything. You can, but better yet, you can also subscribe so that it ends up in your podcast app or whatever you like to listen to. Stay tuned.
Online Tonight is produced and copyrighted by Smart Family Media. All rights reserved. Host Maxwell Smart. Producer and other hats worn by Victoria Smart. Views and opinions expressed are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, affiliates, or other advertisers.